let the church say amen again.
Amen.
God is a good God. And I'm not claiming to be one that prophesy or anything like that. But the young man that was up here earlier, Mom, you got a special son.
Amen. And
I already saw that before he called him up here. When I hugged him when we were going around, God just showed me something different about him.
Amen.
And there's something special, and I don't know what the special is going to be, but there's something special about that young man. And Mom, you need to nurture it and take care of it.
Amen.
You really do.
Amen.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, and we thank you, Lord, for who we are in you. Now, Lord, it's time to preach your word.
Yes, God.
Lord, it's time to hear your word. Lord, we just ask that you would open up the ears, oh God, the spiritual ears of your listeners, oh God. Open up my ears, oh God, that I may hear you.
Yes,
open up their ears, oh God, that they may hear you, oh God, through me. Oh, Lord, we just thank you right now for
thank
who you
Lord.
Are. We thank you for your awesomeness. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy.
Yes, God.
We thank you, Lord, because we know that all that we are, oh God, is because of you. And, Lord, we just thank you right now for what you're going to do in this service. Lord, we thank you for your word as it goes forward. We know, oh God, that it's for some ear. And we just pray, oh God, that they would hear it. We pray, oh God, that they will take it, that they will digest it, that they will use it, oh God, that they may be closer and closer to thee. Oh Lord, we just bless your name right now. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon Sister Kelly, oh God. Lord, she prayed to you on
yes,
today,
God.
Oh God. Lord, I could feel your spirit in the back of the room, oh God, as she was praying. And I just pray, oh God, a special blessing upon her life.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, whatever it is she may be going through, oh God, I ask that you would just touch and move on that situation right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so loving. Oh God, you're so kind. And now, Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit, oh God, that it will lead, guide, and direct my tongue. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Thank God and amen. God is a good God. But there are some things I don't understand about it. I don't understand why God gives us a sermon, Pastor.
Uh-oh.
And then he began to change things in the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Did we not hear it right the first time?
Mm.
Or is he just putting us in a predicament where we're totally dependent upon him?
Right.
I was going over the sermon this morning as I was getting dressed, and God began to change things about it. And I'm like, God, you know I'm not good at that. You made me and you know all about me. You know I like to know things ahead of time. I like to be prepared on what I'm going to say. But God says he is the one
that's
in control.
That's right, man.
If you would this morning, if you would stand and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 13. The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 13. And I would have had it in the New Living Translation version, but God gave me this scripture this morning, so I'm going to read it out of the King James version.
All right.
It says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." You may be seated. I'd like to use for a topic on this morning, you are not alone.
All right.
You are not alone. On last week, the pastor preached a sermon, and the title of it was Looking for Direction.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sermon, he made a couple of points that, that stuck with me. He said that when you're looking for a direction, you have to know your destination.
Yes, sir.
In other words, you got to know what direction that you're headed into. And then he also said that when you're looking for a direction, you got to have a confident belief in who Christ is. And what Christ has done for you.
Yes.
And when he was talking about that, and I was thinking about it throughout the week, it reminded me of a time when I was seeking direction from God. Mm-hmm. And where God took me at this particular time when I was seeking this direction, and he took me to the book of Judges, the sixth chapter. And I read about a man by the name of Gideon.
All right.
And Gideon, when you study this particular chapter, you will find that he was a man who God gave an assignment to. And when God gave him this assignment, Gideon was afraid, and he was also hesitant. And I think that we can relate to Gideon, because I think sometimes when God gives us an assignment, we can relate, because we feel the same way that Gideon felt. We feel hesitant, and we feel afraid.
All right.
I was looking at Jace the other day. Mm-hmm. My son and my daughter-in-law got the opportunity to sign their first permission slip for him to go on a field trip. And I was looking at him, and I said, Jace, you're getting tall. And later on, I was thinking about that, and God said, you're feeding him, and you're nurturing him. Therefore, you expect for him to get tall. You expect for him to grow.
Right.
And he brought me to the OC. And he said, spiritually, the OC is being fed. He said that what you're learning in Bible class, he brought to my remembrance what we've been taught about the Old Testament, the law, and the New Testament. How we have been living with a burden of trying to do everything just right. And how the pastor have taught us that we don't have to live this life and be under a burden. Mm. Because we're not bound down by what that law says. Mm. He brought to my remembrance that, you know, you've been set free.
Hallelujah.
And he said, but in that freedom, you also learned that although you have been set free,
yes,
that you are responsible for learning what this word says. And following what the word of God says, not because you have to, not because you're bound by some type of law, but you're going to do it because you love me, because you respect me.
Hallelujah.
He said, this is what you're learning at the OC. He said, you're learning in Sunday school. He just brought about all the things to preaching on Sunday, and he's just showing what we're learning. He said, and when you're learning, you're growing spiritually. Just like the grandson is growing because he is being fed physically. There are some growing in the OC. And what he said to me is that there is some present and some future preachers. There is some present and some future pastors.
Yes.
There is some present and some future teachers.
Yes.
Deacons, evangelists, and ministers at the OC, all because you're being taught. He said, and even the ones who don't step out and go in those directions, there is some present and some future people here at the OC who have decided to live some better lives.
Amen.
He said, there are some people there because of what they've been taught, because of what they are being fed, because of how they're growing. They have made some decisions to live better lives.
Amen.
He said the people there have made some decisions to have better talking conversations.
All right.
The people there have made some decisions on how they're going to treat people differently.
Yeah.
The people have made some decisions that they're going to raise their families differently.
Yeah.
All because of what they've been taught. He said, and when you got this kind of thing going on, when you got these kind of gifts that are in amongst your congregation, not only do you know it, but the devil knows it as well, and he's not happy.
All right.
He says, so now you got the people. They're wondering why. They're wondering why it seems like they're on the right track. They're trying to do things that are right, but their life is not where it seems like it ought to be.
Uh-huh.
It seems like they're struggling to stay on course.
Uh-huh.
It seems like the chips are not falling in the right place. He said, you know, the same thing was going on with Gideon because of the things that he had heard. He said, but let me go back to the people. The people, you all know, you know that God is real because you've been taught that. You know that Jesus is the Son of God. You've been taught that. You know that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Uh-huh.
You've been taught that. But it's the growing pains of life that's throwing you off.
Yeah, yeah.
God placed it in my spirit to let you know that he don't want you to get thrown off course.
All right.
He don't want you to get sidetracked by what you see and what you're going through.
Yeah.
God wants you to know this morning that he knows your needs.
Yeah.
God wants you to know that he remembers his promises, and he wants you to know that he loves you.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes when you're going through something, you know, after you done been through it for so long,
all right,
you know, words of encouragement just don't seem to do it anymore.
Mm.
After you've been going through it for so long, it doesn't make you feel any better to know that somebody else is going through.
Mm.
Actually, you kind of get tired of hearing about somebody else going through because you're focused on the fact that you're going through.
Right.
Why? Because as humans, because of what we've been taught here at the OC, because of what we've been taught about the power of God,
yeah,
because of what we've been taught about what all that God can do, we expect to have a different storyline.
All right.
Back to Gideon. Gideon, because of what he had been taught, because of what he knew, he expected the people to be living a different type of life.
All right.
Gideon, he wasn't there when the children of Israel were in bondage for over 400 years.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't there, but he heard about it.
Yeah.
He wasn't there when God delivered them and brought them out of Egypt by hands of Moses and parted the Red Sea. He wasn't there, but he heard about it.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't there when the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness and God fed them and gave them, provided them with what they needed to eat and drink. He wasn't there, but he heard about
yeah.
it. He wasn't there when God placed his people in the promised land, a land that they didn't work for, a land that was flowing in milk and honey, a land where they are now. He wasn't there, but he heard about it.
Yeah.
And so because of what he had heard about that God had done, he was kind of confused on why we're going through what we're going through. It didn't seem to match up with what he knew about God. When he looked at their present situation, when he looked at what they were going through, when he looked at how they were being tormented by the enemy, when he looked at how they was running for their lives, talking about God's people now, looking at how they was running for their lives and hiding in caves, he didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, what it was like just a few months ago with grasshoppers. They was all over the place.
Yeah.
When you read the story, it said that when the enemy would come in and take over, it said they was just like grasshoppers.
Mm.
Can you imagine people covering you like grasshoppers?
Wow.
It said that when they would plant their harvest, that the enemy would wait until it was time for them to reap their harvest. And then they would come in like grasshoppers, and they would take all of the people's harvest and take all of their cattle. They would just strip God's people of everything that they had, and they reduced the people to starvation.
Mm.
And so here Gideon is. He's hiding himself. No doubt I can see him with some leftover grain, trying to get some of the good out of what had been left. And I can see in my mind him standing there talking to himself and talking about the situation and saying, Lord, why are we going through this?
Uh-huh.
Why is it that we are your people and we have to run and hide and we have to get in caves and the enemy is allowed to take over us?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, you know what? We find ourselves asking God the same thing.
Mm.
Lord, why is it that I go to Bible class on Wednesday night? I go to Sunday school. I go to church. I'm in the choir. Lord, why is it that I do all of these things, but this is going on in my life right now? Lord, I've been praying to you for months, and it just don't seem like things are changing.
the God that people, they get up, Minister Smith, she talking about it, the pastor talking about it, Deacon Smith teaching about it. I mean, they're talking about how awesome you are. But yet and still, I find myself in this predicament, and I'm talking to you too, but it seemed like I can't get out of it.
Uh-huh.
But then it says that the Lord sent an angel to talk to Gideon.
Uh-huh.
And if you will look in Judges, the 6th chapter, at verses 14, 15, and 16,
uh-huh.
It says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have.'" I'm reading from the New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm.
"And rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in all the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Whatever you do under the direction of God, God wants you to know this morning that he's with you.
Yeah.
That you are never alone. God reassured Gideon, if you do what I ask you to do,
uh-huh.
all these people that have come in and look like grasshoppers,
mm.
if you do what I tell you to do, when it come time to fight the battle,
yeah.
it'll be just like you're fighting one man.
Yeah.
How many times do we complain? It seems like when God is not doing something, we're complaining about what God is not doing. But when God turns around and requires something of us, then we respond like Gideon and start talking about what we can't do.
Yeah.
Do you not know that God knows your abilities?
Yeah.
Do you not know that the abilities that you have, God placed them within you? Do you not know that God would not ask you to do something that you can't do?
Mm.
Why would God treat you that way?
Mm.
God is a loving God. But here we find that Gideon, you know, they wanted to know why God wasn't moving. But then he responds, and you know, most of the time when you talk about yourself, you try to brag on yourself.
All right.
But because God had an assignment with him, for him, he started talking about the whole family. He said, "My clan, my family, we're the weakest in all the people around here."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Not only that, I'm the weakest one in the family." You know, he started putting himself down because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do.
Yeah.
It seems like we as a society or we as people,
uh-huh.
we have a tendency to not have any backbone sometimes.
Oh.
We have a tendency, it seems like, not to have that spirit of perseverance.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to give up. We want somebody else to do something, and when somebody else don't do what they're supposed to do, we don't have a problem not doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, if you're going after something, and you know that God is in it, you know that you've prayed about it, and it didn't work out the first time like you thought it should work out, try it again.
Man.
If it didn't work out the second time, try it again.
Yeah, yeah.
If it didn't work out the 26th time, try it again. As long as you got breath in your body,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you're on the right course,
yeah.
do what God is leading you to do. That's part of knowing the direction that you're going in.
Yeah.
When you're looking for that direction and you're sure you're going in the right direction,
yeah.
don't allow Satan to put things in your path to sidetrack you,
yeah.
and cause you to lose focus and focus on where you are and what you're going through.
Mm.
How many of us are in a situation right now that we want to be out of? But if you put it down on paper and you ask all the questions, have you really done all that you can do?
Mm.
You see, right now, I'm just talking about what you can do. I'm not talking about what God can do, because you can't do what God can do.
All right.
I'm talking about what you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we fall short is that we don't do what we can do, and then we struggle because we can't do what God can do.
Uh-huh.
And see, that's what causes us all of the stress.
Mm.
I was talking to the pastor back there in the study this morning. I said, if you need a healing and you praying to God for healing, you can't heal. You don't have the power to. But you can take your medication.
Yeah.
Because that's something that you got control of. So you take your medication and you trust God to do what God can do. Because if you start focusing on trying to heal, you're fishing to find yourself stressed out.
Right.
because you don't have the ability to be able to do it. How many times, like I said, we're in situations and we haven't done everything that we can do? How many times have we lived with mama and said that, you know what, I want my own place? But you won't get a job. You want your own place. But if you got a job, you have to go to work. You want your own place, but you never pick up the newspaper to see if somebody got something for rent. You got to do what you can do. How many times have we walked around, some of us unhappy, because we don't have a mate? How is it that you can get a mate and think you can make them happy, but you can't make yourself happy? If you can't make yourself happy, I guarantee you, when you connect with somebody else, you're fishing to make them unhappy. And Sweet Brown Sweat said it better than I can. Ain't nobody got time for that. And so we need to focus on things that we can do. And we need to stop being lazy people. We need to get up and try. 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 There is no way you can fail at something if you never try to do it. There is no way that you can fail at something if you never try to do it. Whatever you're struggling with, how bad have you tried not to? You got to do all that you can do. I challenge you today to set some goals. You know, when you go and you interview for a job, a lot of times people will ask you, what do you see yourself doing in 5 years? What do you see yourself doing in 10 years? And you sit there and you'll be like, well, no, I never really thought about that. You're thinking about right now. But most of the time, people want people who are dreamers. People want people who are thinking not only about right now. They want people who are thinking about the future. Because those are the people who are your self-motivators. Those are the people who are your self-starters. Those are the people who persevere and don't give up. The people who are thinking about the future. And so I want to challenge you all this morning. I don't want to know what you want to do in 5 years. But I ask you to set some goals for 3 months. Whatever it is that you're going through, that you want to change in your life, set a goal. And then put it in writing. It's something about having something in writing. Because, you know, you can walk out the door and forget about what you said you was going to do back in the back. But if you put it on writing, you can see it. I challenge you. And it seems like I'm getting away from my sermon, but I'm not. God is with you. Put it on paper. Write your goal down at the bottom of the paper. And then start at the top writing what it takes to reach that goal. And when you start at the top, let's just say, for instance, you got a problem of using ugly words all the time, and you wanna stop using ugly words.
All right.
Put that down at the bottom. Well, then, what do you have to put at the top? The first thing you got to do is you're going to seek God's guidance in helping you to attain this goal. That's going to be everybody's number one. After that, things are going to change depending on what your goal is. But you got a goal of speaking ugly. Maybe you only talk ugly when you get with certain people. So maybe the next number two may be you're going to have to avoid some people. Maybe you only talk ugly when you have too much to drink.
All right.
So maybe your next goal is, I'm going to have to let the drinking go.
Right.
If I want to obtain this goal. You need to go down. Write your goal down. And then write down what it's going to take to obtain that goal. And then I dare you to pray about it. Because you know the word of God, when Jesus' disciples were stressing about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, he told them, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all these things will be added. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're stressing about, whatever it is that you want to change, seek God first. In the morning time, this sheet that you have your goals on, your goal on, put your hand on it and pray to God about it. Or if you pray better at night, pray at night. But pray over this goal every single day. seeking God's guidance. And I guarantee you in 3 months, I believe some people will have some testimonies.
Amen.
I believe God will change some things in some people's lives if we begin to start seeking his guidance and stop trying to do things on our own. And something else that God placed on my heart, and I really don't even know how to even say it. It seems that we have a lot of young people having children now outside of marriage. It's just happening all over the place. And God is saying, you know what? We are destroying those children that are born outside of marriage. We're destroying them because the man and the woman don't know how to handle it. You're not together as a family unit. And you use that child to get back at one another. And so you're raising up a nation of children who have complications because you and that person could not get along. We cannot control other people. Women, you may have gotten pregnant, but you can't make him want you. Men, you may have gotten her pregnant and you may not have wanted to, but you can't get rid of that responsibility. That child is still there looking just like you. You can't get rid of it. The child is not going to vanish away. You cannot pay child support all you want to, but that child is not going to disappear. Women, you can keep him from seeing their dad all they want to. That's going to hurt the child. You know, when children are born and they grow up, when they begin to talk, you don't have to teach them how to say mom and daddy.
No.
Those are two of the first words that they say. Why? Because God designed it that way.
Yes.
Children, mama, and daddy. And when you keep one from, if you got a responsible person, I understand there's some people that you can't let have your children. That I do understand. But sometimes we don't let them have them because of spite. But when you got a responsible parent, God is holding you responsible when you got control for doing the right thing.
All right.
If you got a responsible man that's the father of your children, you need to allow that man to see that child. You need to allow that man to have a relationship with that child, because the relationship with that child, between that child and that father, is nothing like the relationship between you and that father. That child gets to know their father in a totally different type of way. If you are the man with those children, it does no good to talk about that woman to those children and make them have a different opinion of their mother, because that's a totally different relationship between them and their mother and you and that mother.
All right.
You're hurting your children. So back to Gideon. God's people were in a fix, but they were comfortable complaining to God about what they were going through.
All right.
And so now God has told Gideon, I want you to do something about it. Gideon is afraid. And so what Gideon does, he said, you know what, God? He didn't tell God no. He said, you know what? Give me a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's what some of you all need to do. Mm-hmm. You're looking for direction. And you don't know if you're going in the right direction or not.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people in the Bible ask God for proof about certain things, and they were punished. They were punished not because they doubted their ability. They were punished because they doubted God's ability. That's not the situation here with Gideon. He's not saying that God couldn't do what God could do. He was thinking he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. And so he asked God for a sign. And when you read the story, you will find that God gave him whatever it was that he needed. And this morning, that's what I want to say to you guys.
Yes.
Ask God for a sign to let you know that you're on the right direction. The pastor asked me this morning back there, he said, how your week been? I said, my week has been terrible. And I said, to be truthful and honest, I said, I've had a terrible week. I said, as a Christian, you wouldn't think so. You would think, well, I'm not supposed to have a week like that. I know how to handle things. I had a bad week, church. But I thank God that I recognize that I was having a bad week.
Uh-huh.
And Thursday morning I was driving to work because I realized for two or three nights I'm waking up through the night and I got certain things on my mind and I'm not resting and pretty much it's just leading to stress.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed to God and I said, Lord, I'm stressing and I'm not supposed to. I said, and I need for you to minister to me.
Yeah.
That's what I told God. I said, I need for you to minister to me. And so, you remember in the Bible, I think it was Elijah or Elisha. He was running for his life. I think it was Elijah. He running for his life. And he was looking for a word from God. And it said that the wind began to blow, but God's voice wasn't in the wind. It said the earthquake came. He was looking for God. God wasn't in the earthquake. The fire came. He was looking for God, but God wasn't in the fire. I said, God, I need for you to minister to me. So on my way to work, I turned the radio on, praise and worship station. I figured, well, maybe a song will come on, you know, that'll say something, and I can kind of hum it all day long and try to, not the worst song on there that I ever heard. He wasn't on Sirius FM, I mean the Sirius radio channel. Okay, so, you know, I go throughout the day because I'm like this. When I ask God to do something, I look forward.
All right.
Okay, so I get to work and, you know, you talk to people throughout the day. Sometimes you talk to people. Sometimes people will say something that'll minister to you, but they don't realize that they are. But you know that it's a word for you. Nobody had nothing positive to say that day. So I'm sitting there and I look over at my cell phone and the little blue light is blinking. And when that little blue light is blinking, that means that you got a message. And I want to read to you all. My nephew has sent me a message. He didn't say hi. He didn't say nothing. It's just this message on there. And I haven't even heard from him. And it says, one night a man was sleeping in his cabin and was suddenly awakened by the shining abundance of God. God spoke to the man and told him that he had a difficult and long task for him and directed him to a huge rock in front of his cabin. The Lord went on to tell the man that the job was to push this rock with all his strength. So day in and day out, the man pushed this rock. After many months, a sore back, calloused hands, and aching muscles, little to no progress had been made, and the man had lost his zeal and passion for the task God had given him. He then went in to the Lord in frustration. God, I'm doing what you asked of me. But I have not moved this rock a single inch. What am I doing wrong? Why am I failing? God looked upon the man with compassion and took him before the mirror. Never did I tell you to move the rock, just to push it and with all thy strength that was within you. My job is to move the rock. Your job was to be obedient.
Amen.
And that's the point that I want to get over to you this morning before I take my seat. It's your job to be obedient to God.
Man.
Talk to God. Ask him for direction. Things that are beyond your control, God is going to handle it. And that ought to relieve some of our stress.
Mm.
When you pray to God and you truly believe that you're saved, you got to know that God is on your side.
Amen.
You got to know that even though your situation don't look like you think it ought to look,
yeah,
even though it looked like God is nowhere in it, because of who you are, you got to know that God is there,
yeah,
even though it don't look like it. If you got to believe in your heart that you are saved. You can't allow situation and circumstances and people and the devil to tell you,
yeah,
that you're not saved.
Yeah.
Because I've been there, I know they will. When everything around you is all wrong and it seems like you've been trying to do everything right, it makes it seem like something is not right in this puzzle. But God is still there. If you believe in God, he's there. What you can do, do. But what you can't do, allow God to do. And know, church, that you're never alone. Thank God and amen. I don't see anyone in the congregation this evening or this morning that is not a member or don't appear to be a member, but you know, we stand up here as preachers to encourage and to strengthen the believer, but we also stand up here to help the ones that are not saved.